It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And welcome into the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is Big Jim Murray in once again for Tony Maserati tonight alongside Sean Silver, Jimmy Stewart behind the glass with Billy Lanny. And Jimmy, you can open up the phone lines right off the top if you would like to join the show at 617-779-0985. And the Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at Mohegan Sun. .com. So the Red Sox, as you might have heard in the top of the hour hub headlines, and as I mentioned at the NFL, Grand Maz back in action tonight. They open up a three-game weekend series in Kansas City against the Royals, yet another team in the American League who stinks. The Royals, if you haven't been paying attention, and why would you, unless you're a hardcore team head, they've lost six in a row, a minus 167 run differential this season, the worst in baseball, and they're worse at home than they are on the road. A record in Kansas City of 11-32. Against their road record of 14-29. So this should be, in theory, a sweep for the Red Sox. And despite my, if I'm being honest, my lack of overall interest in this series tonight, it's certainly worth tuning in for at least for tonight's game, for what should be another dominant performance by Chris Sale, who's on the mound. He has been filthy over the last five starts, allowed four earned runs over 35 innings during that stretch, struck out 54 all-time against Kansas City, 10-10. 292 earned run average in 33 career games. So it should be a night of pure filth for Chris Sale. As I half-jokingly mentioned towards the NFL Grand Maz today, I wouldn't even be shocked if there was a no-hitter from Chris Sale tonight. It's like that's how dominant he's been. He's hot, and this Royals team stinks. Beyond that, I don't know how much there really is to discuss with this series before it starts, besides tonight being, you know, Sale night, so, you know, it's appointment television in of itself. But have at it if you'd like to talk about Red Sox-Royals, 617-779-0985. What I thought I would do, though, instead, Sean, is focus on something bigger picture with the Red Sox and Major League Baseball as a whole, and that is what I think is going to be a very active trade deadline between now and July 31st. We've already seen some action happen with Kelvin Herrera going from Kansas City to the Washington Nationals just a couple of weeks ago. Doesn't seem like that's helped them all that much thus far. But no. Big names will be wearing new uniforms a month from now. Manny Machado, Jay Happ, Zach Britton, maybe, possibly, if things continue to go south for the Nationals, maybe. You know, a slight possibility of Bryce Harper, maybe. Jake DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard of the New York Mets. Like, some big names are going to be changing uniforms here between now and August 1st, the deadline on July 31st. So will the Red Sox end up with any of these big names? I'd like to see them add to the bullpen. I'd like to see them add a bat. Again, looking at the lineup tonight, you have Steve Pierce at first base, and he's batting cleanup. Like, I get it, like, good against lefties. And is this kid that Kansas City's putting out there tonight is a lefty? I have to imagine that he is.
Jason Hamill?
Yeah.
I think he's a right-hander.
Well, either way, Steve Pierce, anytime I see it, and I know he's had decent enough numbers, he's a journeyman. He's a righty. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. When I see it, it just irks me because it's like, okay, Hanley should be there. Like I will feel that way. And I know the there's some weirdness surrounding Hanley Ramirez and the fentanyl arrest of his friend. And from what I've been told from the Boston Globe, he's cleared there. So, hey, why not maybe bring him back? Like, I think that they will continue to miss Hanley. Be that as it may, I'd like to see the team add a bat. So will the Red Sox end up with any of these big names? And do you realize, like, there's other teams here they're going to have to worry about that'll be, you know, vying for the services of some of these big names, other than the Yankees? The Yankees need to add a starter. Sonny Gray is their David Price, a complete puddle. God, he's awful. So they're likely going to be in on a J-Hap or someone like that. Maybe Syndergaard, but I doubt the Mets and Yankees would be doing any business. But it's not just the Yankees or the Astros you got to worry about here. Quick, without looking at Google and looking at your computer, who's the top team in the National League right now as of this Friday? Do you know?
Atlanta Braves?
No, wrong. Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, the Brew Crew.
The Milwaukee Brewers, if unless you're Felger and paying attention, like, how many people are really, like, watching the Brewers? Like, top team right now, record-wise, in the National League. The Braves, I know, have been a laughingstock here for a while. Maybe they're ahead of it, but, you know, that's a team that's going to contend. That's a fun team. They got, you know, a good combination of youth and good veterans there. Like, that's a team that's going to be, you know, that might be able to make some noise depending on some moves. Them, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Dodgers are still hanging around. The Dodgers would also have the money to make a deal for Manny Machado and then extend him to a long-term contract. Like, it feels like to me, especially with the lack of depth in the farm system with Boston, as much as I'd like to see them add, I don't know if they're going to be able to get anything other than, like, spare parts. Like, I hope you realize the Red Sox, while they'll be in the market to add a bat or another arm in that bullpen, you should know now, like, it's unlikely they're going to be getting any kind of big names. So temper your expectations and realize that this is going to be a very active trade deadline. And there's a lot more than just, you know, your Yankees and some of the iron in the National League that you would expect to be in on it, like the Dodgers. There's a lot more teams that can be vying for your likes of a Machado or J-Hap, and you're going to probably miss out. And I want to know how that makes you feel as a Red Sox fan at 617-779-0985.
Right, and it's going to be a feeding frenzy in the National League because there are so many teams in, particularly when you have a team like Milwaukee, 52 wins, as I just did look it up on Google. The Braves, just 3 games behind, so it wasn't a terrible guess by Silver over here. But, Milwaukee at number
star
one.
Star in the making, I hear.
Star in the making. Rumor and innuendo says, doot. It's very possible that Milwaukee, people would think that they would be coming back to the pack. So I think a lot of people think that's a juicy opportunity over in the NL to be in it this year. So you're going to have a lot of teams over there vying for services. And if you're the Red Sox and you're in your nice little cushy American League, sure, you can roll into the playoffs the way you are, but you clearly need something. There are some holes in this team. We've talked about them day in, day out here. The only thing is, you know, basically, I think you're going to be taking on somebody else's bad contract, and that's not a great thing right now. You just got rid of a bad contract in Hanley Ramirez, or at least one that would have materialized if you got 489 at-bats. You move past that. You had the opportunity to have his bat in the lineup, and now you're out looking for a bat. So who's it going to be? Who's going to come from the wheel of maybe not gutless, but overpaid, overhyped, over the hill sluggers or relief pitchers?
Yeah, so I mean, it's my question really for Red Sox fans. Like, what are your realistic expectations this trade deadline from Dave Dombrowski? Because the risk of sounding like a negative a-hole, like, I think that they should be low at best because they don't really have any youth to deal. And rightfully don't want to deal with someone like Rafael Devers to San Diego Padres.
Please,
so they
don't.
Could bring in someone like Brad Hand.
Please,
I don't think that that's worth it.
Jim, that's a reasonable opinion right there. That's not anything about a-holeness.
And the other thing you should realize, too, is the National League, unless, again, you're a hardcore seam head like a Matt McCarthy, who hosts the Hardcore Baseball Podcast. Check it out, 98.5thesportshub.com.
Great intro there.
The National League is far more compelling than the American League this year. And just looking at it here again, Brewers, 52-35. The Cubs are only 2 games behind. Mm-hmm. You have to think that Theo Epstein is going to want to maybe add there. They're going to be in on Manny Machado. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, tied for first there. The Giants, only 3.5 games back, along with the Colorado Rockies. Rockies, obviously not a big market team, but the Giants, you know, in San Francisco, I could understand if they would be on someone like a Manny Machado or someone like that. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams here as part of this feeding. As you mentioned, it's going to be a feeding frenzy here, and I don't know what the expectations are of the Red Sox fan between now and July 31st, because they should be low. I don't know what you're going to end up with here, but they need a bullpen arm, and they certainly need to add a bat. But I think it'd be crazy to think that they're going to be in on a Manny Machado, because there's other teams out there, like your Cubs, like the Dodgers, like maybe even the Braves, that will be in on a player like that, and you're going to miss out. So it's going to be competitive. It'll be interesting, but I just know how interesting it's going to be in terms of the Red Sox. So baseball reporters here, it's 98.5 of Sports. Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. As it was, we didn't really talk a lot of baseball in Felgren, Mass today, so if you missed out, get in now. Got a couple open lines you want to join us. 617-779-0985. And I'll tell you, it being a completely baseball show, too, it doesn't have to be Red Sox heavy. Like, you want to weigh in and tell me where you think the best fit for some of these guys would be, like Manny Machado? I'd have to think with the Dodgers right off the bat. No pun intended. They can offer, they got the money. They got the deep pockets where they can bring him in now, extend him in the long term. If Bryce Harper were to move, where should he end up? We'll take your calls on that as well. So we'll get right to you right after this here on the Baseball Reporters. It's Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Big Jim Murray in for Tony Maz once again tonight. Open up kind of a bigger picture question looking at the trade deadline, which looks like it's going to be extremely active between now and the deadline on July 31st. What are your expectations as a Red Sox fan during the trade deadline? What do you really expect from Dave Dombrowski? Because there's going to be a lot of big names. They're going to be changing uniforms, and I think you should have your expectations low and think of the Red Sox are going to maybe end up with a Manny Machado or even a Zach Britton. They need another arm in that bullpen. It would be certainly nice to have another right-handed bat. But any of the big names, I think you can forget about it because, that farm system's barren, and they're right to not want to trade someone like a Rafael Devers. And if you also want to weigh in on where some of these big names may land, where are some of the best fits? You want to talk a little bit of National League stuff as well? Have at it, because I find the National League far more compelling than the American League. So far this year. And speaking of which, too, I was just looking at some of the numbers. As I was, poo-pooing this series this weekend for the Red Sox as they were opening up in Kansas City against the Royals. Like, I knew they were bad. Holy crap, you really look at some of the numbers of this team, like, they could be historically bad. On that, John in Vermont, you're first up, actually, here on the Baseball Reporters today. What's up, John?
Yes, they've lost 24 of their last 28 games. And another fact real quick on the American League. Baltimore, last I checked, is on pace to finish 61.5 games out of first place. Now, most of the guys on the panel and myself are contemporaries. Do you guys ever remember, being 40-ish, the American League playoff picture being over before the All-Star break? Because I don't.
John, it's as bad as I've ever remembered in my 41 years. Like, this is... And I know, look, I take a lot of flack, especially on social media, because it's a cesspool. That's what happens when I say I put a little bit of an asterisk on the Red Sox win-loss record so far this year. But how can you take it seriously when you have a team that, again, that they're going up against this weekend, and it seems like every team is god-awful, and they've lost how many again is it? 23. What is it? 23 in a row, this Royals?
24 or 28.
24 or 28.
24 or 28.
And it seems like anyone outside of like the five teams that are good like the Red Sox or the Astros, Yankees, Indians, Seattle, everyone else basically is like that. It's a wasteland of suck.
The American League makes the NHL look like the NBA. I mean, it's amazing how bad it is.
Well, and John, and here's some of the numbers. So I didn't even know that it was 23 out of their last 28, but this team, this Royals team, they're going up against this weekend, and how historically bad that they could be. They're on pace right now to finish 47-115. 47-115. There's only been two worse teams in the modern era, the 62 Mets and the 2003 Tigers. So it might not be out of the realm of possibility that this Royals team could challenge the worst in the modern day era in baseball. Here's further numbers for you, too. Get ready for Red Sox Royals tonight and this weekend, everybody. Out of 1,552 separate team seasons since 1960, the 2018 Royals are on pace to finish with the fourth worst per game run differential. I mentioned that run differential earlier to open up the show. Right now, their run differential is, and I just lost it here, where was this? Oh, Jim, you. -167. -167, the worst in baseball. So again, with that, looking at this here, this team and how bad that they are and what kind of pace that they're on. So they're on pace to finish with the fourth worst per game run differential since 1960, and to look at how bad that could be, look at some of the, like, here's some of the final records of some of those nine other teams. The 03 Tigers, who I mentioned before, 43-119. 62 Mets, 40-120. 96 Tigers, 53-109.
Oh, those are the ones Clemens hit the 20 strikeout game against.
Right. 2002 Tigers, 52-109. 74 Padres, 51-111. 79 Athletics, 52-110. 04 Diamondbacks, 51-111. 2010 Pirates, 57-105. 69 Padres, 48-114.
That was an expansion team.
This is historically bad, and it's probably going to get worse because, well, the Yankees have, as we're talking about the trade deadline, the Yankees reportedly have interest in Mike Moustakas, and the second baseman there, Whit Merrifield, he's probably going to go too. Historically bad. This is why I'm going to continue to kind of, you know, not take the Red Sox seriously as much as many of you do. I know they're a good team. Good team. A lot to be proud of so far. But until they prove it against the Iron or in the playoffs, and hell, maybe I got to wait until October, I really can't take it seriously when they're playing bum teams like this. Historically bad teams like the 2018 Royals.
Watch out for Brad Keller, though, tomorrow night. They've converted him to a starter as the season has gone along. And his last two starts against the Angels, 7 innings, 2 hits, struck out 6. Against the Mariners, 8 innings, 6 hits, struck out 3. A combined 1 earned run in those 2 starts. He is going up against David Price in game 2 of this series. He's the only Royal starter, period, the whole season, who has an ERA under 5. Brad Keller, ladies and gentlemen, against David Price. That's the game I'm looking forward to if I'm looking for some drama.
And Price will look dominant, and I will hear it from those that still support him. And look, I get it. You root for the laundry. I'm just out of business with that guy. And fine, go at me, at Big Jim Murray on Twitter. But how can you not take that with a grain of salt? I knew this Royals team was bad. I didn't know that they were that bad.
They're bad.
Holy crap. Anthony and Worcester, you're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Big Jim. Big fan. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks.
Stephen Wright just drives me up a wall. The fact that they kept this guy who was brought up on charges for domestic violence and is just a knuckleballing fool. And I love Tim Wakefield, and it was just, I grew up in the 90s, huge fan of Tim Wakefield, but like my patience with knuckleballing is gone. And the fact that he came back after the domestic violence thing without a peep, I think Jones is the only person that ever I heard bring it up at the Sports Hub. And this whole thing with Hanley and how he's been totally acquitted, as far as all we know, is some goofy guy had his phone number and FaceTimed him when he was in all kinds of trouble, and he's been totally cleared of all that stuff. And the fact that I haven't heard anything about him possibly coming back, it just kind of drives me up a wall.
And understandably so, Anthony. It's a good point. You know, so you have Stephen Wright, who's arrested on a DV charge. He comes back, not a peep, and, you know, it's a horrible thing that he did. And Hanley Ramirez, from what I understand, from the arm of the Red Sox, the Boston Globe, of course owned by John Henry, of course owns the Red Sox. My understanding is, as the article said a few Sundays back, Hanley's got nothing to do with his friend being arrested with all that fentanyl. His friend that was trying to peddle death on the streets of Lawrence and throughout Massachusetts. Hanley has nothing to do with this. So if Hanley has nothing to do with this, and that contract has been ripped up, and you need a right-handed bat, well, why not bring him back? Why doesn't another team have anything to do with Hanley Ramirez? I don't know. It is kind of curious there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you're right to bring up the double standard. Let's go to Rick in Boston. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Hey, Rick.
Hey, about expectations for the trade deadline. My expectations are low, and I have a question for you. If the Red Sox need a good reliever, how come they don't just not go for a home run name, just go for bat and a single and get somebody from a farm system? Can you pull from a farm system from other teams?
What I really think, Rick, what they're hoping on is that Tyler Thornburg is healthy and that he can come in and do what he was originally supposed to do and, you know, shore up that bullpen and be an arm that you can go to in the eighth inning. But again, every time you read about Tyler Thornburg from any of the beat people, it sounds like, oh, Tyler Thornburg is on his way back. No, he's hurt again. He's been pushed back. Tyler Thornburg is going to be available. No, he's had another setback and he's been pushed back time and again with Tyler Thornburg. But I think that's what they're holding out hope for. So maybe that, you know, maybe their deadline move is a non-move. It's something internal. It feels like maybe that's more likely to happen than not, that it's going to be hopefully maybe someone like Thornburg coming up, and that's their added arm in the bullpen, and maybe that's a small piece like Eduardo Nunez last year that can come in and maybe help the offense.
Well, interestingly, you got Thornburg, who was, you know, kind of up and down with Pawtucket, but if he's healthy, you know, certainly has a pedigree.
Yep.
Also, Drew Pomeranz. He is starting on Saturday for the Paw Sox, but I was reading McAdam this morning, a 2.10 career ERA pitching out of the bullpen.
Yeah, and this has been brought up before by callers. I just, and maybe I'm just scarred from that awful series against the Cleveland Indians from a couple of years ago, Sean. Mm. It just didn't work out well there. But hey, fine. You know, maybe he, because they thought then that John Farrell thought that he could be the Andrew Miller, you know, type weapon out of the bullpen. Maybe. I mean, but that doesn't make me feel all that good because, again, I need to see
something we've seen before.
Yeah.
And if he, even if he gets in a groove during the regular season, it's against, you know, the gutless bum teams.
Man, this Royals
team. I want to spin the wheel tonight, Jake. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I really
I don't know if you'll be. I don't know if we'll be really spinning the wheel of gutless bums this weekend against this Royals team. Again, I knew they were bad, but on pace to finish at 47-115. And they're going to move Moustakas and maybe this Merrifield at second base, and they'll be even worse. On pace for 47-115. Two worst teams in the modern era. 62 Mets, 03 Tigers, 40-120 for that Mets team, 43-119 for that 03 Tigers team. Hey, it could get worse for you, Royals, so that's something to cheer for, I guess, as a sports fan, or if you like sports schadenfreude like I do.
The Baseball Reporters on 88.5, the Sports Hub.
The one who threw the pitch
to the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short
to the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered
because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Baseball Reporters 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati tonight. In the prior segment, another caller. Talking about Stephen Wright and the double standard of how he comes back after a DV arrest, and there's really not much said. If Hanley has been exonerated, well, how come Hanley wasn't able to stick around or be able to be brought back by the Red Sox? But on Stephen Wright, an update on him, because he's been out on the disabled list with a knee issue. Michael Silverman, Boston Herald, is with an update from Alex Cora saying Stephen Wright did not suffer any kind of setback, but he has been slowed down. Return before the All-Star break sounds doubtful. The quote from Cora, we're good where we're at as far as pitching. There's no need to rush him. Also an update on Dustin Pedroia. He's back in Boston. Adjustments going to be made in his rehab. Quote, nothing big. That from Alex Cora. A timetable for return to baseball activities remains unavailable. That's because Dustin Pedroia is done. I would be shocked if he was back this year. And really, I won't be surprised if like Dustin Pedroia is done. Like, done. Like, that's...
What a shame.
Yeah. You know, look, he's up there.
He's up there, but, I mean, he's not ancient. It's just kind of like everything fell apart.
But that kind of knee injury, like, that's...
Yeah.
You know, look, you're putting a lot of torque on that, playing that position. So I wasn't surprised that it felt like it, you know, ultimately felt like he was rushed back and that he was out almost immediately.
Yep.
It just feels like that might be it for Dustin Pedroia. But you're right. Like, considering, you know, one-time MVP, what he's meant to this team, that if it just ends like that due to injury, like, it is a bit of a shame.
It's not like you can stick him at DH or anything either, you know?
Right. So open up talking about the trade deadline, what the expectations are for you, the Red Sox fan, between now and July 31st. I feel it should be minimal at best. If you want to weigh in on that, 617-779-0985. I find the National League far more intriguing and interesting in that there's going to be a lot of teams looking for some of the services of the likes of a Manny Machado, Cole Hamels, Mike Moustakas, going on and on there, some of the names that are being thrown around. So there's going to be a feeding frenzy. You know, just overall, I'm surprised more hasn't already happened. Like, you know, especially looking at how tight the National League is compared to the American League, Sean, like, I'm surprised more teams like the Dodgers, who are right now neck and neck with the Arizona Diamondbacks in the West, like, I'm surprised that there hasn't been more activity already, like, or maybe they're just sitting back in the weeds and seeing how things play out. But for teams like that, that have been neck and neck, and it is tighter out in that specifically in that division, too, when you have the Giants and the Rockies looming at just a handful of games back, like, I'm surprised someone hasn't already called the Orioles to say, you know what, this is what we're offering for Manny Machado.
Right, and even if it's not necessarily Machado, a team like Milwaukee, you know, who hasn't been there, I think they last made the playoffs in, what, maybe 2012? They had a nice little run there, the Prince Fielder team. It was Niger Morgan was kind of like their mascot-type player that year. You look at a team like that, and you'd think that they would set the pace, right? They would get out in front of everybody else. and make some sort of move where everybody else's jaw drops and say, okay, Milwaukee is actually for real. Maybe there's some sort of decree from ownership where they're not going to spend. But, yeah, everyone is standing pat thus far, and that includes the Red Sox, because let's face it, they're going to have to lie in the weeds because they're going to be getting the scraps.
Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. You're next up here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. So regarding whether or not to look at the Red Sox skeptically, I don't even think about it anymore because I can see that the tanking culture is now in baseball. It worked for the last three World Series winners, and this is our lot in life this year as Sox fans. And what's also worrisome to me is that we're going to have this for football and basketball next season, too, and we just had a Bruins season where we waited all year long to find out if they're any good. So it's kind of a downer, I think. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, Jeff, no question. I mean, it's... I don't know how you can argue against what's happening in Major League Baseball like that. If you want to argue and say, well, no, tanking's not happening in baseball, it's absolutely happening in baseball. I mean, the Pirates jettisoned Garrett Cole and Andrew McCutchen, and you know they've actually been somewhat competitive, even though they're 11.5 games behind the Brewers, but at 40-46. But I don't know how you can't look at the teams like the Marlins, the Pirates, the Reds, Padres, you know, the Rays, the Orioles this year, this terrible Royals team at 25-61. The tanking is going on in baseball, and the thing is, it works. Look at the Houston Astros; it absolutely worked for them. You know, you mentioned something yesterday, and it being a Friday on the Baseball Reporters, and it's typically kind of a dry night on the Baseball Reporters, even when I'm sitting in on Maz in terms of calls. And you had mentioned, Sean, yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, like you've been to every ballpark. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I started, I started at Fenway Park and saw a couple games with a buddy of mine at Shea Stadium back when I was in high school, which was cool. But after my freshman year of college, I started getting serious about it, went on a road trip with the same friend. We went to 11 stadiums in 9 different cities in 10 days.
We had
doubleheader in Chicago, hit Wrigley in the afternoon, Comiskey at night. That was the only night of the year that both teams were in town on the same day.
So this wasn't like
started from there.
This wasn't like a decades-long project. You kind of knocked out a good chunk there.
But that put me up to, I think, 14 at that point.
Okay.
So it took me 15 years to get everything else. I finished it last year in Minnesota for a Sox series. So
what was the... Because I always think that, look, at this time of year, even a casual baseball fan, especially if you know you're a dad, you got a young son that's starting to get into baseball, or just becoming a sports fan. It is, look, I've done the baseball road trip thing with my dad too, and he's not like a psycho about baseball, but we went to Coors Field in the inaugural season in 1995 when the Lodo was still like kind of sketchy and scary, but you know, going to that park in inaugural season, like it was great.
Yeah.
And doing a baseball road trip, I think, is just one of those things you gotta do at some point in your life. So what were the must-sees, ultimately, like you would recommend anyone maybe thinking of doing this kind of thing this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a real easy one to hit, you know, if you can sit in a car for 9 hours or whatever, get over to Pittsburgh. You know, fun city.
PNC's the ball.
And I feel like that's
awesome.
The best park. Yeah, I really feel like that's the best park. Baltimore, another easy one to hit. That would be in my top five. Fenway and Wrigley would be right there, too. I know people have their gripes with Fenway, but it's my home park. I'm going to overrate it for that reason alone and just for the feeling that it gives me being in there, you know, if it's an important game. And then, you know, a lot of places can fight over number five, whether it's Seattle, whether it's San Francisco. If you're going to San Francisco in July, bring layers. We're sitting out in the bleachers, you know, on what had been a 75-degree day, and just the wind shifts.
Turns like that.
And it was just like, oh, my God. But, you know, I mean, between the food and just the random people we ran into, the bars we went to, the random people we stayed with on couches and, you know, seedy motels and... I did it with a couple of different buddies mainly, you know, we did most of the driving, you know, like did the West Coast one year, did the Midwest another year, and stopped at the Field of Dreams in Iowa, went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, went to the Grand Canyon. Like if you can get something while you're at it, if you can teach yourself a little bit about America while you're doing the road trip, do that too. I mean, mostly it was just because I was lucky to take a little bit of time off and you know, do a budget road trip and got it all done last year. It was been a lot of fun, a lot of memories. Now I got a kid and that ain't happening anymore. So,
but that I'm with you 100%. And I didn't know if that's what you were going to say, but PNC Park is hands down my favorite ballpark I've been to.
Yeah.
And it's that Pittsburgh in general is an incredibly underrated city.
I wholeheartedly agree.
And I'm a big, I like a lot of those Rust Belt cities. Mm-hmm. Cleveland is actually can be a good time too. I'm a Buffalo fan. I know a lot of people mock it, especially with the Bills Mafia. That's easy to do. But I don't know. A lot of those cities, like, they're a party, and Pittsburgh is right there. Like, that's a guaranteed good time, good food, good people,
yep,
good sports fans, and that PNC Park, just in terms of the aesthetics, is stunning.
It is. Limestone everywhere, and I would imagine some
of
those...
And cheap.
Yeah, and cheap, exactly. Get some pierogies. I would imagine some of those cities, Jim, have been a part of your trips that you take, where you go to one good city,
right,
one sketchy city, and then one wild card city. Is
yes,
that it?
I've mentioned this before. That's my typical summer trip. I've done this. This is the now 11th year in a row that I've done this. It's me and some old radio friends. Three random cities, and as Sean said, we tier them. One good city, one S city, one suck city, and we have to make the best of it. It was all about steakhouses initially,
mm-hmm,
but now that we've like kind of we're running out of cities is what's happening. We're going to have to take this thing international. For example, like this year, and we're really slumming it this year. This is my summer vacation. The hot spots of Indianapolis, Buffalo, and Detroit.
Is Detroit the good city? What's the good city out of that?
Yeah, in theory, Detroit's the good city.
Okay.
And Indianapolis is the eh, and Buffalo's the suck, even though Buffalo's a party. So, yeah, that's my trip this year. But, yeah, we've knocked off some, you know, we've also, you know, folded in some baseball games, if, you know, they happen to be going on in those respective cities during the summer. What's the biggest disappointment?
Just, that's tough to think of, I guess, off the top of my head. But I would say just going to any place where there's a beautiful ball yard that was built in the 90s or the early 2000s, and there's just complete apathy from the fans. Like, I think I mentioned it last night when we were sitting here. Arizona, you know, just like it's Phoenix, it's 110 degrees. It's like, where is the ballpark? I don't see anyone on the streets headed to this ballpark. Oh, we're at the ballpark. There's nobody inside the ballpark. It is just like going to a funeral. And it's like, these guys won the World Series, like, last decade. I mean, they had, you know, an iconic team with some superstars, and, yeah, that ownership's been really great over there. Jeez.
Yeah, I disappointment might be strong, but I will say, I think, to me, Wrigley and...
You mean like an overrated perspective.
Wrigley and Camden, I thought, were wildly overrated.
Wrigley's a party, though.
Yeah.
It is a party.
And
maybe it's not your people.
It's also a giant ripoff. Like,
Wrigley is also better than Fenway.
Oh, Jimmy, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, make your case for that.
Mm.
Because the outside area, I'll give you that. Wrigleyville, better than Fenway,
absolutely,
even though they've built that up over the last handful of years. But the park itself, oh, God.
I felt more comfortable as somebody who's 6'4" and 200 and something pounds.
It is easy
fitting
to
into
sit
a seat. And also, my seat, which was on the third base side, was pointed towards, get this,
home plate. Okay. Yeah, see, I've only been in the bleachers there and in standing room, so maybe that's what's affected me a little bit. The people are fine. I mean, those Midwesterners, they're a party.
Sure.
But I just thought, like, in terms of sight lines, comfortability, like, I was like, okay, like, it's, yeah, I just didn't get, man, look, I'm biased, I'm from here, but there's still, even at all these years I've gone to Fenway, from childhood to now, like, there's still always the little tingle and the pop you get from going to Fenway Park.
Yep.
Wrigley, I was like, all right, I've seen it. Couple of times, like, I've been, like, that's good. And then Camden, I just find it a little bit sterile. Yes, aesthetically, the outfield and the buildings in the background, like, nice.
It's pretty.
Convenient. Just thought it was kind of meh.
I also saw both pitchers hit home runs in a Cubs-St. Louis Cardinals game.
Oh, well,
there we go.
Yeah, see, you've
got
a very entertaining game.
Ban the DH.
And that Boog Powell's barbecue that they got there, too, at Camden. Oh, God.
Give me the double switch, please.
What a suck sandwich that thing is, too.
Literally.
Yeah, it is. All right, so, you know, we detoured there. Like I said, kind of gets a little bit loose here on a Friday in the Baseball Reporters. But you mentioned that yesterday. I was like, wait a minute. Did I hear him say he actually has been to every ballpark in these United States of America? That's an impressive feat. I'm probably at 16 or so.
That's also an impressive feat.
But
I mean,
like,
it's not easy.
You know, I'd love to go to AT&T, but I just don't.
Oh, it's awesome,
I know.
Jim.
That's
it
the one
amazing.
I really want to see. That's the one that's the most. Great American Ballpark, also kind of underrated. Like, I like Cincinnati. Like, Cincinnati's a fun party town. Those, you can get in there essentially for like $8. Like, I don't mind
that
one either.
That's interesting. I went the last year before Great American Ballpark, so I think it was like a $5 ticket, and it was dollar hot dog day. It was just, I reaped the rewards of that. Getting towards the end of a road trip, funds are running low. It was just like, all right, I'm getting 6 hot dogs today. I'm getting my $5 ticket. I'm plunking down wherever I want. But yeah, it was a big concrete bowl.
This was the first year of SunTrust, right? So you down one, or have you been there?
Well, I've been to a home game for every MLB team.
Yeah.
I haven't been to every single ballpark. So I haven't been to Atlanta. I have been to new Yankee Stadium and Citi Field, obviously, as well as the old ones. I haven't been to the new Red Stadium. I haven't been to the new Philly Stadium because I went to the Vet.
Oh, that place is awesome.
I did go to Montreal and in Toronto, but, you know, obviously no Montreal anymore, have been to Nationals, you know, stuff like that. But so I have attended a home game for every MLB team.
Say what you will about Philadelphia fans and Philadelphia in general. And
jerks.
You'd be right to, because, you know, they're mostly troglodytes. I like Philadelphia as a city. It's a party, but they're...
The complex?
Their complex is how it should be done in every major city. Baseball
Kansas
park,
City does the same thing.
Right there. Football field, right there.
Yep.
You have this Xfinity Center where everyone can drink outdoors and have themselves a time. All right there. Centrally located with public transportation. Bang, that will take you right there. Like, why is it so difficult? Why? Okay.
Land.
Right. Yeah, good. Cost of property. I mean, it's
eminent domain.
Pretty
not so easy.
Pretty pricey in 2018. That's right, Jim. Light dawns on Marblehead.
Baseball.